Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 121. Hear the word of the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Now, as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us this morning, and we pray by the power of your Spirit you will inspire us to hear the word that you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning in our New Testament reading, we're going to read an entire book of the Bible. Philemon. Philemon is 25 verses long. So this is Paul's letter to Philemon. Hear now the word of the Lord. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Well, now, Philemon is a very short letter from Paul. But there is an awful lot there. This letter tells us a lot about how Christians should be willing to deal with each other. It tells us about grace and mercy, kindness and forgiveness. And it is a demonstration of the power of God to change our hearts and to restore relationships. But even more than restoring relationships, it is about recreating relationships in ways that go against the customs and expectations of our society. It is about creating relationships that are countercultural, if you will. Relationships that only God can create through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and ones that may not make sense to others in society who keep looking in from the outside. Now, the brevity of Philemon has made it perhaps the most neglected of Paul's letters, despite its richness and its personal warmth. It has been described as the most human in the Christian scriptures. As a pastor, I can read Philemon as a model of pastoral care. It's loving, thoughtful, diplomatic, and carefully theological. The situation being described in this letter is delicate, and Paul, in the role of the pastor, stands between two Christians who are at serious odds, asking them not only to be reconciled to each other, but also to model the new life in Christ to which the entire church is called. And so let's understand the situation that's outlined here in this letter. On a previous trip to Colossae, which is in Asia Minor, and that is now in what is today Turkey, Paul has helped establish a house church in the home of Philemon. And we believe that Apphia is likely his wife, and Archippus may be their son or another prominent member of the church. We do not know for sure. But Paul greets them all in the beginning of this letter. Paul is under house arrest in Rome, and that's why Philemon is known as one of the prison epistles, because Paul is in prison when he writes this. Now, the distinction between this particular writing and some of the other prison epistles that he wrote is that he's under house arrest. He's not in a prison jail cell, per se. And this means that being under house arrest, Paul is able to receive visitors. And in fact, visitors perhaps are even able to stay in the same home where he is under house arrest. And that's why this gentleman that we know as Onesimus has come to visit Paul. Now, Paul obviously was instrumental in converting Philemon to Christianity, and they are dear friends and brothers in Christ. But the other character in this letter, the central character, is Onesimus, who is a slave in Philemon's household. Now understand, if you will, that a slave in that culture was different than our more recent understandings of slavery. In the ancient Greco-Roman world, a slave would not necessarily be a slave for life, and he likely would not be harshly mistreated or mistreated at all. Sometimes a slave would be in servitude because they owed debt to the master, and they were working off the debt. If he was trustworthy, he could eventually win his freedom. However, he was still under the control of the master, and if he should run away, he was to be returned to the master to face punishment. It was a definite form of servitude. So in our passage today, we see that Onesimus, the slave, has run away from Philemon's household and has found his way to Paul, who is under house arrest. Onesimus most likely had known Paul from Paul's previous visit to Colossae when he helped establish the house church in Philemon's home. So just so you understand, Onesimus obviously had known Paul, had great respect and regard for Paul, and when he ran away from his master, he ran to be with Paul. Now, we're not sure of the specific circumstances. Some have suggested that perhaps Onesimus had stolen money or property from Philemon and therefore was trying to run away. Paul mentions potential debt, so perhaps Onesimus ran away while still owing Philemon money. But under the culture of the time, it was expected that Onesimus would be returned to his master. Now, it's obvious that Paul had become very close to Onesimus and had, in fact, shared the good news of Jesus Christ with him and had converted Onesimus to Christianity. Onesimus had become loyal and become very useful to Paul. And yet Paul knew what was expected under the culture of the time. He had a responsibility to send Onesimus back to Philemon. But you can tell from the writing that Paul didn't want to do that. I mean, it was really eating at him because he had such love and concern for Onesimus. But yet he knew under the culture of the time that it was his responsibility to send Onesimus back. And so Paul sends him back with this letter, which is obviously written from the heart. Now listen again to these words of Paul. He says, "Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. He says, I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary." Now I want you to pay special attention to these next words that Paul writes. "Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother." Paul is saying, I want you to take him back not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. Paul says, he is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. And then these next two lines in Paul's letter are really quite astounding. He says, "So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me." Where might we have heard those words before? "If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me." Aren't those the words that Jesus could have said as he was hanging on the cross? "Father God, if these, my beloved children, have done you any wrong or owe you anything, charge it to me." Paul was being the intercessor between Onesimus, the debtor, and Philemon, the master. And he was asking that Philemon, out of love, out of the same grace by which Jesus had reconciled him to God the Father, that out of love he would forgive Onesimus and welcome him home, not in servitude, but in brotherhood. The parallels of the story of our own redemption with God are so strong. And of course they should be, because that is what happens when we become true followers of Jesus Christ. We begin to live our lives and love one another in the same way, with the same element of grace. It is that same commitment to living a life that is Christ-like that compels Paul to ask Philemon to do the same. He is asking Philemon to forgive the one who owes him a debt. And so we see here in this letter how the gospel transforms relationships. The relationship of Paul to Onesimus, that of spiritual father and child. The relationship of Paul to Philemon, Paul appealing to him as a brother in Christ. And the hoped for relationship now of Philemon and Onesimus, brother to brother, and not as master to slave. What empowered those transformed relationships was indeed the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is the same good news that empowers us to be transformed in our lives. How we treat one another in the body of Christ, in the family of God, within the church, our lives will be different because of our common bond. It happened in the lives of Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus, and it can happen in our lives as well. Love, mercy, grace, forgiveness. These are not just words on a page. These are realities in our lives. These are the ways in which we treat our sisters and brothers because we are family. We live in close relationship. But because we are human, there will always be those times when we struggle to live up to what Jesus calls us to be. But that is exactly what we need, and especially in this time. We see how the love of Christ permeates and transforms our lives. And in his commentary on Philemon, this is what Martin Luther has written. Martin Luther said, "This epistle gives us a masterful and tender illustration of Christian love. For here we see how Paul takes the part of poor Onesimus and to the best of his ability advocates his cause to his master. He acts exactly as if he were himself, Onesimus, who had done wrong. Yet he does this not with force or compulsion, as lay within his rights. Rather, he empties himself of his rights in order to compel Philemon also to waive his rights. What Christ has done for us with God the Father, that Paul does also for Onesimus with Philemon. For Christ empties himself of his rights and overcame the Father with love and humility, so that the Father had to put away his wrath and receive us into favor for the sake of Christ. From servitude to brotherhood. It is the story of love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. It is the story of the life of Jesus Christ and why we are called to live in relationship with him. And it is a story that could cause each and every one of us to bow in humility before Jesus, our Lord. I chose this particular passage this morning, or this entire book of the Bible this morning, because I love the story of Philemon and Onesimus and how Paul breaks all of the traditions of the time, taking the side of Onesimus the slave and telling Philemon, if indeed we are taking the gospel of Jesus Christ seriously, it means that we are no longer looking at Onesimus as a slave, but rather as a brother in Christ, a dear brother in Christ, to charge any debt that is still owed to Paul, but for Philemon to accept Onesimus back into his household with love and grace and forgiveness. And that indeed is the story that each and every one of us should be looking to on a daily basis as we look to those people in our lives that we need to forgive with love and grace. So I hope from now on, when you hear the word Philemon, you'll remember that it is indeed one of Paul's letters that he has written. But it is much more than that. It is, for all of its 25 verses, it is a passage that has deep, deep meaning. It is truly an example of the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for gathering us together this morning in your name. We praise you for all of the many, many things that we receive as blessings from you. And Lord, we thank you this morning for the beautiful rain. We thank you for the beauty of your creation that surrounds us. And Lord, we pray that as we live our lives in relationship with you, that we will always be reminded that living in relationship with you means that we must live a life of love and grace and forgiveness. Help us to find those in our lives who we need to love, to forgive, and to invite back into our household. We thank you, Lord. And this morning, we do pray for those who are in need of your care. We do lift up to you Elijah Harmon as he continues to suffer from the effects of chemotherapy and radiation. Lord, we just pray for his complete healing. We pray that he will be able to have a life that is full. Lord, we lift up to you Karen Young Hodges as she recovers from a series of heart attacks and as she adjusts to a new life that is more limited than what she has known. We pray for your blessing upon her. We lift up Katie Roop as she continues to recover from her liver transplant. And Lord, we pray that any of us will be inspired to help Katie with transportation or other ways that we might be able to reach out to her. We lift up Donna Slusher. We lift up Dan Hansen and J.C. Mead. And Lord, we also rejoice in the recovery that Dave Allen has experienced. So we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your compassion. And Lord, we just lift all of this to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us all to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.